Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Bez, have you got your spreadsheet up? What's going on around the grounds this week?
Melbourne City steal the A-League Premier's plate from Sydney FC. Needs to be an investigation. Tennis to head to Saudi Arabia, and the NRLW is set to expand.
For the key story, we'll chat about the insanity that was March Madness. Insanity. Records broken, and unfortunately, some pretty horrible social media storms around certain players and moments, which is just frustrating. But my name's Chloe Dalton. I'm joined every week on the show by my co-host, Bez. Do we need to call you Bez Morton? What do we?
No, just one word.
Just one.
I'm like Madonna and Beyonce.
Wow, she's feeling confident this Monday morning. We are recording on Gadigal land. Let's take a look around the grounds.
In football, the final regular season A-League weekend had it all. Sydney FC just had to beat 11th placed Canberra United, which was on the Wednesday. They had a game in hand, or, which they didn't, or Melbourne Victory on the weekend. They couldn't achieve either of those, and they handed the Premier's plate to Melbourne City after a 4-0 loss to the Victory on that final weekend. Oh, that's a rough.
It's a bit uncomfortable.
It's a rough finish to a season, isn't
it? It's rough.
City defeated Perth Glory 2-1, so they went into that game knowing that they win, and they win.
Nice, well win. Said.
To take first place by 2 points. So this weekend we'll see the first week of finals with the elimination finals set for Saturday and Sunday. Can't wait.
In tennis, the WTA have confirmed that the next three editions of the WTA finals, so 2024 to 2026, will be held in Saudi Arabia, despite the numerous voices speaking out against the country's human rights record. The debate around sports washing will not go away, but the silver lining, or gold lining, should we say,
money lining,
is the increase in prize money attached to the move. The Saudi Tennis Federation will offer record prize money of US $15.25 million in 2024, with further increases in 2025 and 2026 confirmed. The WTA said the deal will support broader investment and the future development and growth of women's tennis. It doesn't sit right with me, Bez.
No, it doesn't. And we've seen this time and time again. And I know it's a really nuanced debate in regards to female sport. And it's coming. Like Saudi, we've spoken about this numerous times.
Yeah.
They have money. They're going to spend it. If you don't have other people at the table wanting to spend that money, it's very difficult to say no to it.
It is really difficult to say no. I was thinking about this on my drive here to the podcast this morning, and I think off the back of the March Madness, which we're going to talk about, knowing this groundswell, I feel like we're at the precipice of this big moment. Good word, don't you reckon?
Yeah, well done. You tap yourself on the back.
Thanks. Thanks for the tap. Where if it's done right, it's no longer this needing to find whoever's at the table. I just think there should be so much more out there. There's so much more that can be done in this women's sports space from a commercial perspective. To me, this is not the right direction to be going in. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying. That we've gone past the any offer's a good offer stage.
Thank you for getting the words better than I did.
precipice. Getting the words.
I don't know. Oh, gosh. I did precipice and then it all went downhill. On to the next story, please.
In rugby league, some exciting news for the NRLW. With ARLC chair Peter Volandis announcing that the competition will expand to a 12-team comp in 2025. The Canterbury Bulldogs and New Zealand Warriors will be the additional teams. And with the new teams, the comp will expand to 11 weeks. So I think they'll all play each other once and then head into finals after that. Interestingly, though, hasn't been met with a whole heap, not completely positive feedback. New South Wales Women's State of Origin coach Kylie Hilder did kind of warn against it before it was announced, saying that we should probably be waiting another season or two. She noted the comp was really good this season in a good space, and she had concerns over the standard with new teams being added. She spoke about how important it was to build the base. And like I said, he's confident in 2 or 3 years' time the quality will be there. And it's interesting, I also saw Millie Boyle had similar opinion.
Yeah.
I think what the NRL is doing is that they're saying, look, the commercial appetite's there. Like it's that whole if you build it, they will come. They're building it. And if it's a couple of years of clunkiness, so be it. But the commercial appetite is absolutely there to see that expansion. So, look, if the girls are rewarded and they're given the right environment to improve, I think they'll improve quickly.
Yeah, it's a tricky debate. I think I really respect the way the NRL has gone about expanding this league. The fact that they have increased the number of teams with the number of games, very different to our story with AFLW, where they expanded too quickly with the number of teams, haven't increased the number of games at that same rate. And I think these arguments from Hilda and from people like Millie Boyle are really valid, in my opinion. I just think I love this idea of growing the game, giving the women more opportunities to play. But I just think if you can do it not too slowly, but slowly enough that you allow the pipeline to ensure the quality of the game. Not that it's about the social media, but it kind of, I don't know, there's so much pressure on women athletes to show that their product is valuable. And sometimes I think if it's not done in the right way, they're the ones at the end of the day that almost get thrown under the bus.
Yeah, I was talking to you about the episode that you did with the two amazing people from Deakin University. Yes. Speaking about the report into the social media space. And it really, you know, I always listen to all of your amazing interviews, of course.
Thank you.
Sometimes I zone out. But what did...
Oh, good.
You know, well, you
really
know,
when encouraging you've got a few, for the listeners.
A few balls in the air. But no, one thing that really struck me was when you actually spoke about on that interview, and if you haven't listened to it, do yourself a favor because there's some really amazing study information to come out of that study. But one thing that really stuck with me is when you spoke about how when sometimes when you are lining up for a kick, you think to yourself, if I miss this, it'll just be give the men in the comments section another opportunity to have a crack.
Yeah, and I think about it when I watch other like my teammates or opponents, there's almost some moments I think if I watch it on telly and I'm like, oh, this is going to get slammed if that clip ends up on socials. It's just horrible.
Yeah. I think, again, we've said this time and again, but it's so important that these organisations really heavily invest in the development of these women so that once they get to that stage, they feel confident to express themselves and play the way they want to play and, you know, be as good as they can be.
In athletics, Jess Stenson has finished fourth in the Daegu in South Korea marathon in a personal best time of 2:23.58. That time is an Olympic qualifier and comes just 7 months after Stenson gave birth to her second child, her daughter Ellie. Jess's time means she is the sixth Aussie woman to qualify for Paris. However, there are only three spots available. We have some serious strength in that.
Distance running stocks are rising.
Rising. Stenson said after the run, during the race when it was starting to get a bit tough, I thought back to the day that Ellie was born and then sort of went through the months that have followed and how fortunately it has just clicked. I really didn't know when I was pregnant and gearing up to give birth whether I'd be in a position to get back into training when I did. And every step of the way, things all had to line up. Hats off to you, Jess. That is a seriously impressive effort.
That is some serious mother power right there.
Love that.
Amazing. In cricket, the Aussie women are coming home from Bangladesh after securing a clean sweep of the ODIs and T20 matches. They won the final T20 by 77 runs last Thursday. So they now come home for some much-needed annual leave. I think it's been a pretty long kind of really. Mm. They've been on the go, I think, for about 10 months
long
at this
time.
Stage. So they'll have a little time off before training ramps up for the September series against New Zealand prior to the ODI World Cup later this year. And we had a really cool announcement I think it was last week or the week before, that England are coming here for the summer tour, for the Ashes series. And the day-night, well, first of all, it will be a day-night test, which is amazing for those people that are at work or things like that. The day-night is really suitable to...
Explanation of a day-night for those who don't watch cricket.
So normally a test match is played throughout the day, usually first ball around 10:30, finishes around 6. The day-night will start at about 2:30 in the afternoon and run till 10 at night. So it really gives you the opportunity to finish work, finish school, finish uni and finish all the things and get out there for the last couple of sessions.
How good.
But it will be held at the MCG, which is so good. So the match will be a celebration of the 90th anniversary of the first women's test and the first time back at the ground since the 2020 T20 World Cup final when they played in front of how many fans, Chloe?
86,174.
Yes.
Did I get it right?
You sure
yes.
did.
Yes.
And I like this from C, Head of Cricket Operations and Scheduling, Peter Roach. He said, what we're looking to do is to really keep pushing to get our women playing in the major venues where possible. Well done, Peter. Bigger stadiums all the time. Do it.
Do it. Make it happen. In rugby union, with one round to play in the Super Rugby Women's Comp, the final four are set. The Waratahs, Bez, had a strong win over the Western Force in Perth on Saturday, 45-21, and wrapped up top spot. A little bit patchy.
A little bit patchy.
But overall, a convincing win, I thought.
Yeah. Look, there's definitely some really, really good parts of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot.
It looked hot.
It was 32 degrees and it was hot. It's hot. It's not rugby weather.
Despite the loss, the Force have qualified to play finals for the first time in their history. Good on them. After the Melbourne Rebels lost to the Queensland Reds on Friday night, the final round this weekend will confirm the makeup of the top four and the all-important semi-final matchups. And in the sevens, the Aussies finished third in Hong Kong at the sixth stop on the World Series. They went down to rivals and eventual winners, New Zealand, in a tough semi-final. But they bounced back to claim the bronze medal. They scored a pretty epic try after the siren to defeat France in the 3v4 playoff. It was, yeah, Faith Nathan had a great run. I don't know how we got the ball out of the back of that scrum. I don't know if you saw that moment.
Would we say it came out the back?
Well, the back of France's scrum rather than Australia's scrum. But play on. We'll take it. Great finish by Maddie Levi in the corner and some very good patience from Charlotte Kaslick just to not knock the ball on. The result means that New Zealand and Australia are tied on top of the standings with two stops on the World Series to play.
So exciting.
Woo!
Do you know what's funny?
What?
I'll tell you what's funny.
Tell me.
I love a flight with Wi-Fi, obviously. But interestingly enough, on the way home from Perth yesterday, there was, you know, 30 of us on the plane all trying to watch the girls' semi-final against New Zealand. But the Wi-Fi is not always the best to watch live. I mean, it was good. It was doing its best, but there was a few wheel of deaths going on. So it was like the different cheerings and groanings.
Oh, isn't it funny how that happens?
Like popping up from around the girls. It was pretty cool.
That's great.
I don't know how funny it was, but it was just cool. In boxing, not funny. Sky Nicholson won the vacant WBC featherweight title in Las Vegas on the weekend in a unanimous points decision.
You're mammonous.
It's a hard one. I'm no good when there's N's and M's near each other.
Okay, take note.
She won over Denmark's Sarah Mahfood. Aussie Nicholson called out Amanda Serrano after the fight. So Serrano holds all three belts in the weight division. However, she gave up her WBC title as the organization refused to allow her to box 12-round fights with three-minute rounds as the male boxers do. Pretty cool, eh?
Yeah, I really respected that decision. What happens, though, because she's given them up, like she said she's not going to fight until there's a quality type thing. Yes. Does that mean they're up for grabs?
Just the WBC. So the other three belts she holds for the other three organizations, yeah, they let her fight that way. So that's why that WBC title was vacant.
Yeah, right.
And it's confusing with all the different associations.
Oh, so Sky has just won the one that Amanda Serrano gave up, but she wants to fight Amanda Serrano to prove that she can beat Amanda Serrano.
Exactly.
Yes,
so
and it's all about the hype and the, yeah, so okay, I've just caught up mid-story.
She's now 10 from 10, Nicholson is, and she's keen to unite the belts. And she said after the fight, I'm ready when she's ready. I want the belts. It's nothing personal, Amanda, but I'm ready when you are. It's always personal. It's one-on-one in a ring.
It's always
personal. If it's
personal,
not personal.
What are you doing?
You're in trouble. So the WBC title that Nicholson did win was fought over 10 two-minute rounds. But Nicholson did say that she'll fight on Serrano's terms, adding, if the only way to fight Amanda Serrano is over 12 three-minute rounds, then talk to my team and we'll make it happen.
Which they could almost do that without the WBC title, right? They could have their 12-minute rounds, or do they just not do it like that?
No, it all has to be sanctioned. There's a lot of red tape in boxing.
Yeah, I'm obviously not aware of all the tape. Let's take a look at the key story.
In basketball, wow, what a week.
It was huge.
I mean, it's been what a month, really,
yeah.
But the last week it's reached fever pitch. The Elite Eight game between LSU and Iowa broke all sorts of records when just a casual 12.3 million people tuned in.
Just casual.
That record lasted all of 3 days.
Love that.
So the Final Four matchup between Iowa and UConn shattered it when ESPN reported that 14.2 million people were glued to their screens for that epic contest.
So good. And we're talking average numbers here, not even peak.
Yeah, peak was 17 million.
Huge.
Those numbers make it the most watched men's or women's basketball game on ESPN ever. You want to say that again? The most watched basketball game on ESPN ever.
It's
ever.
Incredible.
And we don't, so the we'll get there, but the final was played this morning, so we don't even know.
We don't know yet.
Might have been broken again. And it's, look, you cannot deny that the Caitlin Clark effect is influencing these numbers massively. So she led the Iowa Hawkeyes to a win over UConn by 2 points, 71-69. But the win, I missed this. I had to leave to go to the game, my game, and set up. But it wasn't without controversy. So there was a late foul called on Newcon for an illegal screen?
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I think no. I don't know how it goes with these things, but I just think at that point in the game, maybe 5 or 6 seconds left, Newcon with the ball down by one with the opportunity to score. To call, I would understand if you called a foul potentially on a player driving to a to the basket, shooting a three. Calling an offensive foul on a screen that wasn't overly flagrant, I don't know. It wasn't right to me.
You've heard it here first.
It was interesting because I really felt for Gabby Marshall. So Gabby Marshall was the Iowa player that tried to run through the screen and kind of went flying, whether or not it was from the screen, whether she added a little bit of pepper to it, I'm not sure, but she got absolutely slammed on social media. And actually in the press conference talked about the fact that she turned her social media off because she just, well, deleted it because she just didn't want to have to deal with how much hate she was copying. She said, I've gotten a lot of hate comments. I don't know. I'm not the one that made the call, so I'm not sure why they're mad at me personally, which is a really valid point. She's not the referee in that situation. And like we touched on, Bez, with some of this Deakin research that's come out around the fact that 87% of female athletes experience abuse and harassment online. It's just horrible to think that she's just trying to play the game.
Just trying to play.
It's something that's out of her control. Oh, it's infuriating.
Yeah, and I think another kind of aspect of that Deakin research chat, again, if you've listened to it, haven't listened to it, do yourself a favour. You guys spoke about the fact that this is her workplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of personal vitriol against someone just doing their job is not okay.
Yeah. It's bang on. It should be. She should be safe in her workplace.
Imagine jumping on your bus in the morning to go to work and just reaming out the bus driver for not changing lanes or whatever it is. Like, just doesn't. It's just not like. Be better, humans.
Yeah, yeah.
And it it does happen so much to these female athletes in this space now because, you know, they're rightly being held up, you know, on display where they belong in lights, and people love nothing more than try to shoot those lights out.
Mm.
So early on Monday morning, speaking about lights, the South Carolina Gamecocks lit it up.
Yeah, they did.
They stayed perfect and won the NCAA National Championship 87-75 over Iowa. They took the win took their record to 38-0 for the season. That's massive, isn't it?
How crazy. Undefeated for the whole time.
And this is a team that obviously made the NCAA National Championship final last year, lost to LSU. They lost all five starters from that year. People were like, oh, they won't be as good next year.
Even Dawn Staley said that.
38-0.
Coach. Ridiculous.
They were definitely the best all-round team in the country. Iowa just couldn't compete with and they were a lot bigger than South Carolina. Like, we've got to be straight up there. They just dominated inside. They shut down Caitlin Clark. Clark did still finish the game as top scorer with 30. Just a quiet game for her.
Casual.
But the Gamecocks squad was so much deeper and their bench contributed 37 points to Iowa's bench contributing none.
If your bench scores 0 points, sorry, but you don't have a lot of hope of competing in a game like that.
That's not great.
You got to pull your weight a bit more off the bench.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true bench warmer back in my day.
Did you pull your weight when you got your opportunity?
I didn't really get a chance. South Carolina coach Dawn Staley has been in charge for all three national championships for South Carolina. And she was really emotional at the end of the game, paying tribute to her freshies, the little freshmen, particularly Tessa Johnson, who scored 19 vital points after coming off the bench. Camila Cardoso won the MVP award and was dominant inside, finishing with an incredible 15 points, 17 rebounds and 2 assists. She'll join Caitlin Clark in the WNBA draft later this year. It's actually not even that far away. Is it like next week or something?
Is it soon? Yeah.
It's really soon. It's going to be, I can't wait for that draft. It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
In the post-match presentation, Staley personally thanked Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport and declared she is truly one of the goats of the game.
It was really classy from Dawn Staley. I mean, I love her. She's amazing. But there was, you know, they get up on that dais and there's all the confetti and there's so much going on. It's always chaos on those
dais.
She literally took the time to say, hey, I've got one more thing to say. Thank you, Iowa. And just paid tribute to Caitlin Clark. It was super classy. She was like, She kind of, the message was, I see you. I see the pressure you've been under. I see what you've done for this sport and I thank you for it. It was really nice.
Mad respect. Let's take a look at what to watch. It's finals time for the A-League Women. On Saturday, third place Western United host sixth place Newcastle Jets at the regional football facility in Tarnit. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. And on Sunday, fourth place Melbourne Victory will host fifth place Central Coast Mariners at the home of the Matildas. Kickoff will be 4 p.m. Winners move on, losers bow out.
Losers head to Mad Monday on, and Suncorp Super Netball's back.
How good.
This is exciting. Round one kicks off this Saturday with the who?
Up the Giants.
Hosting the West Coast Fever at Ken Rosewell Arena. The game starts at 5 p.m. It will be live on KO and Fox Netball. The new kids on the block, otherwise known as NKOTB, the Melbourne Mavericks, kick off their season with a derby match against Melbourne Vixens. That game is on Sunday, 2 p.m. at John Cain Arena, and will be live on KO, Freebies and Fox Netball.
How good. The Tillies are ramping up Olympics prep with a friendly in San Antonio, Texas against Mexico. Kickoff is 10 a.m. AEST on Wednesday morning. It'll be live on the 10 Network and Paramount Plus.
The AEST is standard now, and I probably don't need to put it in there, but it's nice that we're all back well.
Well, respectful for the Western Australians, I guess.
Very true. The Australian Athletics Championships run from April 11th to April 19th at the SA Athletic Stadium in Adelaide. Athletes will be looking to post Olympic qualifying times and win national titles. You can catch all that action live on the Seven Network.
And that's the wrap.
That is the wrap. See you next week, friend.
Bye.